Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to preserve your word in our midst. And Lord, always keep us mindful that your word is living and active and that it does its proper work on us. At times that work is to kill sin, and at times that is to make us new creations and alive in you through faith and the abundance of your grace. Lord, as we begin this Lenten journey, may your Spirit walk with us, may he lead us, may he help us to keep in step with the fruits of the Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So for centuries, certain things have been part of the Lenten season, and it's helpful to take a look at those the first Sunday in Lent. For centuries, prayer, fasting, and sacrificial giving have been part of Lent, just as things like repentance and forgiveness and hope have also been at the very heart of the Lenten season. And so we pause during Lent to go where the Scriptures take us, to consider the things that we're being asked to consider during this Lenten season. And so this morning we go with Jesus from his baptism in the Jordan River to his temptation in the desert. And Luke tells us in chapter 4 that Jesus had been fasting for 40 days, and during those 40 days, the devil was indeed tempting Jesus. We don't know what those temptations were at that time, but at the end of the 40 days, Luke does give us a little clue, and it says this: at the end of this period of fasting, Jesus was hungry. And it's at that most vulnerable moment for Jesus and his time in the desert and his time of fasting that the devil comes at Jesus with three final assaults. Something you can learn there is when you're exhausted, maybe when you are sleep deprived, when you are going through some kind of period in your life, it is a ripe time for the devil to set his temptations before you. And it's exactly what he does with Jesus. When he's hungry, he's met with the first temptation. Now, I want you to think about something. All of these three temptations are about the now with Jesus. So he's hungry, and the devil says to him, essentially, use your divine power and turn these rocks into bread. In other words, fill your belly now. I'll give you all of these kingdoms if you bow to me now. I'll take you to the top of the temple, and you can throw yourself off, and all the people will see this miraculous work of God where his angels save you now. And Jesus will not take the heart of temptation now. Will Jesus multiply bread and feed others? Yep, but not now. Will Jesus establish his eternal kingdom and reign? Yes, but not now. Will Jesus refuse to call the angelic armies to his defense? Not now. You could say, not today, Satan. Think about temptation, brothers and sisters. All of us have been snagged in it at some point, at some time, and it's always the now that gets us. Why get married when I can have sex now? Why not neglect my family as a father and husband now so that I can secure and procure a better financial future later. Why not lie now to avoid getting in trouble later? And a little more lighthearted, why not eat the cake now? I'll exercise later. All of these things are temptations for the now. Why not cheat on the test now and learn the material later? Would you hope that your doctor took that motto through medical school? I'll cheat now and I'll learn it at some point down the road. Why not follow my sinful desires now? Because I can ask for forgiveness later. Do you see why the devil is so effective with tempting us in the now? I've got to be honest, I grew up in the Lutheran Church all my life. I'm 51 years old, and I can count probably on one finger the amount of times I have ever heard fasting taught. And we remember, right? Jesus' disciples get accused of not fasting, and Jesus says something to them. He says, "Why would they fast when the bridegroom is with them? But when the bridegroom ascends and he leaves, then my disciples will" what? Fast. So let's take a time out just for a moment to define what is fasting? What is the purpose of it? How was Jesus using it? And I never understood why we don't talk about it, because we use all these same examples to say, Jesus went away by himself to pray, you ought to pray. Jesus took his disciples away together and he taught them to pray, so you ought to pray, but we always skip over the fasting. So how can we talk about fasting simply? Well, we can talk about it in kind of a twofold way. First is it involves your denying a craving. It doesn't have to be food. It could be the craving you have the minute you have to wait somewhere to pull out your phone. It could be some dessert, it could be anything, but it has to be something that you would naturally crave every part of your day or every day of your life. And the idea is that you fast from that thing you're craving for, that you might practice in a small way a little bit of self-control. That self-control might helpfully leads you to do a better job at fighting sin. Give an example. So, how many of you have ever struggled with patience? Right? And how many have you been told at some point, okay, here's how you handle it, right? When you're an impatient person, get in the slow lane on the highway, right? Or you're in the grocery store and you struggle with patience. So pick the longest line with the most clueless person and teach yourself patience, right? And if you're anything like me, if you're on the highway, you think, okay, Lord, I'm working on patience, 3, 2, 1, whoop, whoop, around, right? If I'm at the grocery store, I'm frustrated, I'm like, okay, she just opened up an aisle over there, I'm gonna move over there, right? It's so hard to deal with it. Well, it's a similar kind of work in fasting, is you deny yourself something that you want that you might slowly improve your self-control. And the second part that goes with it is in those moments when you face that craving, enter into God's Word and enter into prayer. In other words, draw nearer to Him in that moment. So it's a combination of self-control, one of the fruits of the Spirit, and drawing nearer to the Lord Jesus in His Word and spending time in that Word. If we go to the temptations of Jesus, we see that every temptation that the devil sets before Jesus, Jesus responds to the devil from what? God's Word. How amazing is that, that the Son of Man and the Son of God doesn't use any special power or some special tool that is not available to each and every one of us. He uses what you can use. He's fasting. He's been denying himself. It tells us he's hungry, right? He's been battling that over and over and over. And even though it seems as if he's most vulnerable, it seems like he is strongest at the end. And he will not fall prey to the now of temptation. And then it tells us at the end of Luke chapter 4, it tells us that the devil departed for him and waited what? For a more opportune time. Any guesses when that most opportune time might come next? Well, my hunch and my guess would be in the Garden of Gethsemane. Right? Jesus is mere hours away from his suffering, his passion, and his death. He knows about the agony that is coming in just a short period of time. And the temptation that the devil uses on our Lord there in the Garden of Gethsemane is this, is you could avoid the suffering now. And if Jesus avoids the suffering now in that moment in the garden, then it also means this, there is no salvation later. See, he's not going to establish his kingdom by power and by angelic forces. He's going to establish his kingdom through suffering, through death, and through an apparent victory to the devil on the cross. He could have called, the song says, right, 10,000 angels, but he doesn't. And you've got to kind of wonder a little bit, why? Who doesn't want to end their own suffering sooner than later? And I hope you appreciate the answer. The answer is Jesus' love for you and for me and for his Father is the reason why he turns away glory and chooses suffering. It's why he goes to the cross, because he knows by that cross, his innocent, precious blood will be that which atones for your sins and mine. You think of the moments of temptation in the desert, and you see all these recapitulations of the Old Testament. You see the genealogy of Jesus listed just before Luke chapter 4, and it ends with the Son of Adam, the Son of God. And in the garden, when the devil convinced Adam and Eve that they were withholding, God was withholding something from them that they desired, they took the food and they ate of it. When the devil tries to convince Jesus, the second Adam, hey, turn this stone into bread. God's withholding food from you. You're hungry. He says no. When Israel is delivered from Egypt and goes through a baptism of sorts in the Red Sea, and they go into the wilderness to be tested by the Lord, we find out that they prove that they are unfaithful. Jesus coming out of the waters of his own baptism in Jordan, he's in the promised land. And he will not take the bait. And in that moment, we see all of Israel boiled down to one person, the person of Jesus Christ, who proves to be the faithful son and faithful representative of all of Israel and of all sinners everywhere. Now is the time to understand something about your Lord and mine, and that is this, is that he is the victor. In every area where God's people failed, he succeeded. In every area where people chose what they wanted now and transgressed God's law, Jesus said, no. And furthermore, Jesus promises that this victory that he has gained, he will give to you, and he'll give to me, almost as if we earn the victory ourselves. Brothers and sisters, the war, if you will, of salvation has been won. The cross, the resurrection, the war of salvation has been won. But the battle that we face with temptation is a battle every single day. And if you've not done it, I encourage you to try out this practice that God has given us to help, which is fasting. Say no to something that you would normally have, and when that craving comes, move into prayer and God's Word. I don't advise you starting with 40 days, but do something. Fast from something and watch how the Holy Spirit can draw you to Himself and strengthen you. But also know this. There are still going to be moments ahead when you choose the now over God's will for you. And in those moments, know that He comes to meet you in this place, knowing that you've done all that you can to try to fight the good fight, but you haven't always won the battle. And He says, repent of that and come to me. Turn your heart back to me. And I will offer forgiveness, but not just forgiveness. I will offer strength for you to fight the battles ahead. This is an opportunity that Lent presents to you and I to practice. Not to perfect, but to practice saying no to the now of temptation. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is to be reminded that our Lord Jesus has won the victory. He has faced the devil and won. He has faced hunger and won. He has faced an easy way out and chose suffering and the cross, simply because of his love for you, Father, and his love for us. So, Lord, in a little bit, in this service, we will receive your body and blood that was sacrificed, that rose victoriously from the dead, that we might be forgiven and made new creations yet again. And Lord, oh, how we rejoice in knowing that your mercies are new each and every day for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.